Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend. It's a wonderful Monday down here in Florida. Weather's actually pretty decent today. It's warm, but it's actually very nice. The cleanup's almost finished up with a lot of places. Power's been restored to a lot of areas of Florida. Still some areas without power, though, which is a rough time, but they're working. There's linemen all over the place getting stuff fixed up. So other than that, we're getting back to normal here down in Florida. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful as always. I've got a life is so good and God is so good and life is so exciting and life's such an adventure. I have so much fun with it because this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. First story I'm going to start with today is from Baylor University by Carol Baker, who's a medical doctor. Carol Baker is an MD. She's a professor of pediatrics and molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine, Houston, Texas. And I remember Baylor used to be a Christian school. And she's basically talking in a group of people here, and she was being videotaped. And she wasn't very articulate. I thought that was kind of surprising because she's supposed to have a MD degree. And she's a white woman, so I just want to make sure everybody understood that. And she was talking about what was going on with vaccination protocols. And what was interesting, she said that the problem is white people. She said that they need to basically just get rid of all the whites in the United States as far as vaccine compliance. She wasn't joking. I watched the video. None of the other blithering idiot professors with no common sense, no stunt, and they weren't phenomenal, had no reasoning skills or anything else, were sitting there listening to her. No one questioned on it. And she said that the people that were coming in from third world countries were happy to vaccinate their children, but the educated whites who had college degrees and advanced degrees were vaccine refusers, and they could not be made to understand how important vaccines were and that we need to get rid of all the whites. Quote, let's just get rid of all the whites in the United States. You know, Austin, if I hadn't heard her say that with my own ears and watched her do it on videotape, I would think that this is just some kind of disinformation. But she really did say this. And it's sad because she's one of those people that wants everybody vaccinated all of the time, regardless of the consequences. And guys, this is the difference of opinion that we have in the United States. We've got medical doctors out there that are seriously concerned about children and autism and learning disabilities and heavy metal toxicity. And then we have medical doctors like this person who has no common sense, who's not addressing at all the problems with autism, not addressing the problems at all with learning disabilities. All she is doing is spouting the mainstream rhetoric, the lies about vaccines basically are getting people, you know, making them immunized against certain diseases. And we now know from the research that I've done, you've done, and a lot of our listeners have done, that that is nebulous at best as far as that kind of truth. That is, and that's the word I need to use, is nebulous. And what we have to look at is that this is not an isolated incident. There are so many doctors out there that believe in herd mentality, herd immunity, and that everybody, the whole herd, has to stay vaccinated against certain diseases. My response is this. I'm not part of a herd. I'm not one of your stinking goyim. I'm not one of your stinking cattle that you want to call us. I'm not that. I'm a free spirit, free soul, free human being in the United States of America. And until we go under tyranny and they start bringing guns and knives to the vaccine places to force us to be vaccinated, even then I'm not going to allow them to do it. I am going to fight back. I will not subject me or my children to this type of nonsense when so many kids are coming down with autism and learning disabilities. All this is about is reducing the population, reducing fertility rates, reducing IQ scores, and making people as stupid as they possibly can, as fast as they possibly can. And when she's dumb enough, a white woman, when a white woman says we need to get rid of all the whites in the United States, does she not understand, does this blithering idiot not get the fact that she's white? Are you kidding me? So we need to get rid of her too? Well, with that, I have to agree with her. She needs to go. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yeah, and there was one of the first mainstream research studies that just came out, 5 months ago? We talked in detail, I think it was back in February, March, where they did a study of over 600 children, and they split them up, essentially, of vaccinated and non-vaccinated. And then they went through and determined as far as which children had a higher rate of ADD, a higher rate of autism, a higher rate of basically getting sick more often, what different things they've caught. And they found that the unvaccinated kids had a higher chance of catching chickenpox. That was essentially it, versus the vaccinated kids who essentially had a significantly higher issue with ADHD, a much significantly higher issue with learning disabilities, and off the charts higher on autism disorder. So when you start looking at numbers like this, and I mean, they used, I think, like 670 kids, and they split it in the middle. This wasn't some, you know, oh, well, they took two or three kids here, two or three kids here. That's a significant difference. Large group of kids. Every single time when they went through the numbers, they added up in favor of the unvaccinated children as far as their health, their mental capacity, their well-being, their long-term mental acuteness, and all types of other aspects were pretty much in favor of the unvaccinated children with the respect of chickenpox. But the thing about it is, guys, chickenpox isn't that big of a deal. We've all gotten it. We've been getting it for hundreds of years. It's not the end of the world if you get chickenpox. Having your child get chickenpox as a child versus having them literally get dozens and dozens and dozens of vaccines before the age of two is not worth the risk, in my opinion. And just since we're on this topic now, I just got this article today from the BBC now. They just came out with a new article now. With the technology has now been released, and they want to start doing human studies on it, that they said eventually we'll see every childhood vaccine delivered in a single injection has now been developed by U.S. researchers. Their one-shot solution stores the vaccine in microscopic capsules that release the initial dose and then boosters at a specific time. First off, before you even go any further in this, that already sounds so weird and entirely, in my opinion, I'm way too skeptical to even trust something like that. It's bad enough, all these different vaccines that they're injecting, and they don't even know what the long-term side effects are going to be besides autism and ADHD, all these other issues. Now we want to start injecting them with microscopic capsules that break open on time to keep delivering the vaccine over extended periods of time. And it went on the list here, all the different ones the kids get. Diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, polio, HIV, hepatitis B, 8, 12, and 16 weeks. Another one is 16 weeks and 8 weeks in 1 year. Meningitis B vaccine, 8 weeks, 16 weeks in 1 year. HIV, meningitis C vaccine, 1 year. Measles, mumps, rubella, 1 year, 3 years, and 4 months. This goes on as far as their shot. So what they want to do is they want to combine all of these vaccinations into one shot that lasts you for the first 2 years of your life. They said the team of Massachusetts Institute of Technology designed a new type of microparticle that could combine everything in a single jab. The particle looks like a miniature coffee cup that are filled with the vaccines and then sealed with a lid. The design of the cups can be altered so they break down and spill their contents at just the right time, they say. One set of tests shows the contents could be released at exactly 9, 20, and 41 days after they were injected into mice. Professor Robert Langner, who worked on this, he said, "We're very excited. For the first time, we can create a library of tiny encased vaccine particles, each programmed to release at a precise, predictable time so that people could potentially receive a single injection that, in effect, would have multiple boosters already built into it." I can't even begin to start on how weird and how bad this is on so many different levels, Dad. But this is where they're going now. They've already got the research to do this. I'm sure they've had it out for years. Now, again, they're trying to release it to make it sound awesome, hip, really cool that your child doesn't have to get shot with all these needles. They can do it in one shot, which I'm sure if you look at this system, they're going to want to inject this cocktail of vaccines into the children when they're probably 6 weeks old, probably the same schedule, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 16 weeks, all the way down the list. And then they're going to say, oh, well, you know, it's timed. It's going to open up at specific times, yet they have no idea. They've tested it in mice now, and now they want to start testing it in kids. They've tested it in mice. That's all they've done is tested it in mice, and now they want to start testing it on kids, Dad. This is very, very egregious to me.
Well, I don't think it'll be at 6 weeks. I think it'll be at newborns. I think the same time they give the hepatitis shot, they're going to give that shot.
No,
there's
absolutely no reason
to wait for six. There's no reason to wait for 6 weeks. Now you ask yourself, well, that sounds like a great idea. Wait a minute. What if all this crap opens up all at the same time and the delayed release doesn't work and you end up with a child that's basically either dead from sudden infant crib death or basically neurologically damaged for the rest of their life from newborn on, and there's no vaccine way you could sue these guys because of the vaccine compensation fund. You have to take everything before them. These guys are completely and totally exempt if they kill or maim or destroy your children with this junk. Here, studies have repeatedly linked heavy metals to neurodevelopmental disorders and to declining IQ in American children. I mean, on and on and on. There's an article by Kennedy. This is Robert F. Kennedy. He goes, a silent pandemic of neurological developmental toxicity is disabling a generation of children around the world. This is the verdict of neurology experts in the Lancet Neurology. The staggering tsunami of developmental disabilities now affects at least 1 in 6 children in the U.S. and millions more nationwide. Two new studies suggest that the most common of these illnesses, autism spectrum disorder, ADD, and tics, particularly Tourette syndrome, are related to each other and may share the common cause. The culprit, environmental toxins, particularly heavy metals, about 11% or 1 in 9 4 to 17-year-olds, that's huge, by the way, have received an ADD diagnosis, and in some states, as many as 19%. The most recent ASD estimates in the U.S. from 2014 data report a prevalence of a 1 in 45 children for autism. Adding to the worry, science and physicians are increasingly seeing children with multiple neurodevelopmental disorders. Children with multiple diagnoses often have greater levels of emotional, behavior, and educational impairment and the need for more intensive treatment. Neurodevelopmental disorders overlap even in the general population. A new UK study in the Journal of Attention Deficit Disorders explores undiagnosed ADHD and ASD in a population of mostly female adult volunteers drawn from the general population. The research includes only participants who had never received diagnosis of ADHD or ASD or dyslexia or any other mental disorder. Participants completed 4 online questionnaires that measured ADHD and ASD traits. The researchers classified 1/5 of the participants as having ADHD. The substantial proportion, 4.3% of undiagnosed participants, had also scored indicative of at least mild autism. The researchers noted conservative overlap between ADHD and ASD traits and an intriguing correlation between seemingly contradictory measures of distractibility, ADHD, and hyperfocus, ASD, prompted the research to speculate these two extreme manifestations of attention deficits could be controlled by the same mechanisms, which is heavy metal toxicity. You guys can go back and you can read this article from Kennedy if you'd like. Here's the thing, guys. I read this stuff. By the grace of God, God called me out of retirement. I'm on the show now talking to you guys about this. By the grace of God, you're talking to me, listening to us, part of our conversation today. You're not going to do this to your kids, I hope and I pray, or your grandchildren, and you're going to give the other people who you know who have children a copy of today's show, give them the iTunes link, whatever you need to do. But guys, until we can figure out what's causing all of these neurodevelopmental disorders, we have to put a brake on everything. That includes GMO foods. That includes glyphosate or Roundup. That includes the toxic vaccines with all these heavy metals in them. We have to err on the side of caution for our children's sake. We have such a massive IQ drop in the United States with these kids. I'm telling you, the other day I talked to a guy at one of the local hardware stores, and he looked at me with his mouth open and just kept saying, duh. And I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. How's this young man going to function in his life for the rest of his life? He can't even understand basic English. And I already told you a couple of weeks ago with Whole Foods, I simply asked, where were the biscuits? And he looked at me like he was a calf at a Newgate, had no understanding of what I was asking, had to ask him 3 or 4 times, where are your organic biscuits? Do you have biscuits? Okay. Finally, I said to him, this is not a trick question. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. This isn't a trick question. Where are your biscuits? And of course, he goes, oh, aisle 13. Of course, they were on aisle 13. Austin, Ed, no, this is, I'm not exaggerating. I've got to say, this is not a trick question. You know, biscuits. You know what a biscuit is. And he never could help me. We finally stumbled on them in the back, and they all had canola oil, so we didn't buy any. I mean, unbelievable what they're doing to the kids. And I've got a question I want to ask. 2018, 2019, Whole Foods is supposed to tell us all of their junk food they sell, it's all GMO foods. Are they still going to do that? They're being completely and totally silent as far as telling us whether they're still going to divulge what is junk food, GMO food, pesticide food, and quite frankly, I don't believe they'll ever do it. Now, Austin, what do you think about all this stuff?
I don't think so either. The reason why is because I think a lot of their private label stuff that they have is so infested with GMOs and riddled with that stuff that they're never going to be able to do it because they're going to end up labeling so much stuff it's going to kill their sales. I even talked about on the show, I think it was on Friday, right at the, I think you may have been on, I wasn't sure if you'd signed off yet, but essentially Whole Foods has been under investigation for like four to six months, I think, because one of the main chicken companies that raises chickens for them to slaughter that they use in a lot of their private label and a lot of their sales out west in Whole Foods, they did basically an undercover like sting on it to see what was going on, and they did not find a single chicken that was free range. And remember, this is all supposed to be all natural free range chicken that they're selling. They're labeling as that. Every single farm, the chickens were cooped up in these giant, you know, the giant chicken farms where they're basically sitting on top of each other, pooping on top of each other, fighting for food, everything else, which essentially you have to end up giving them antibiotics. You can't raise a chicken like that and not give them antibiotics. And every single farm of the six farms that Whole Foods is getting their chicken from and labeling as fully free-range chicken was coming from these farms. Not once did they find a chicken outside ever ranging anywhere. And a lot of this is because of the regulatory system that's in place is that they don't have to do a lot of this. They can get away with it by different loopholes and whatnot. And so it's quite sad, but no, I don't think for a second that Whole Foods is going to label everything GMO. They may come out with a few products that they come out with and say, oh, this is non-GMO corn or something like that. But as far as actually doing a store-wide changeover, I don't think it's going to happen. And also, two, back to the vaccines, I want to touch base on this real quick because I just got this article earlier from Natural Blaze. I did not know this, and I'm sure some of my listeners may have, but I want to let everybody know that it does not know this. Merck & Co., which they created the HPV vaccine Gardasil. They also make the incredibly toxic MMR vaccine and a plethora of other ones. I did not know this till today, but during World War II, George W. Merck, who was the president of Merck & Co., was also in charge of the War Research Service and the Biological Warfare Division of the larger federal security agency. George W. Merck led the Biological Warfare Department for almost half a decade during the same time he was president of Merck & Co. His War Research Service was in charge at Fort Detrick. Dozens of academic institutes in the U.S. participated in the War Research Service, the same prestigious institutions that promoted eugenics during the decades leading up to World War II, such as Harvard and Stanford. Fort Detrick, as you guys have known, has been the center of a lot of mad science, where it would culminate into biological warfare experiments on Americans, such as spraying San Francisco with the infertility-causing bacteria Serratia marcescens. But what's wild about this is that Merck & Co., the company that makes HPV that's literally causing tens of thousands of girls to go sterile, have all types of neurological disorders, and kill them, was the same company with the owner, Merck, George W. Merck, was head of the War Research Service Division during World War II and after. So that kind of gives you a little bit of background of what these guys do and why they were so adamant in 1987 of having Reagan make sure that the Vaccine Protection Act was in place so these guys could not be sued, because they knew the long-term damages that they were going to incur financially if people were ever allowed to continue to sue them when they started to come out with these incredibly dangerous vaccinations. Because if you look at a graph chart, you will see the amount of vaccines that were pushed on the mainstream population through the CDC spiked rapidly in the early 90s. Also, just coincidentally, the same time, autism and neurological disorders exploded on the American scene in the 90s and have only gotten worse since then. So that is not coincidence that they got completely exempt from any type of lawsuits or any type of issues that people could bring about on them, and now you see what's happening. But and then I just talked about earlier with the vaccine now that's going to be a one-jab shot that's going to unload like a coffee cup months down the road. So this whole vaccine, Dad, it's getting more and more aggressive by the day, it feels like.
Well, they're getting very hacked off at all of us telling the truth, and now they're out saying, you know. And yes, I'm going to say this. I am a vaccine denier. I am a vaccine bigot. I am a vaccine racist. Call me whatever you want to call me. I love vaccines. So this is ridiculous that this is happening to our children, and they're coming down with these neurological disorders. I mean, pick a name you want to call me on this. This is how I feel. I've done too much research on it. I've read too many thousands of articles and too many mainstream neurological journals talking about heavy metal toxicity. Guys, everybody is ignoring the giant, steaming, cesspool, child pedophile rapist in the room, which are the vaccines, and they're pretending like they don't exist. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. There's this giant thing over there saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, I'm causing a lot of this, you gotta look at me. No, we can't do that because we're scientists and the vaccines are gonna produce herd immunity for us. It's ridiculous. The reason we've had upticks of these diseases, of measles, mumps, chickenpox, all of this stuff in the United States, because of the millions and millions of illegal refugees coming here from third world countries. It has absolutely nothing to do with the quote-unquote indigenous population, not speaking about Indians, but talking about we, the people that have been here for the last 100 years, that have been here. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do, all of it, with these populations from these third world countries that have no proper sanitation, bringing all of these diseases with them. I did a show on this years ago. I still stand by what I said on the show, and everything I said that was going to happen has happened. By the way, Sharon and I went to the movies this past weekend, and Sharon is my wife for those of you who are just tuning in, and it's unbelievable to me how we have such a horrible selection of movies now to see. And they can't seem to make a movie without filthy language. And when we were sitting in the movie, we got there about 10 minutes early, so we were forced to watch TV previews. And they had men kissing men in the previews, and they're talking about TV previews now. They were talking about all these gay movies and the gay things they were coming out with. And I'm sitting there back just fussing. And I thought, I'm surprised they didn't throw me out, throw me out of the theater. I'm fussing and I'm calling out. I said, I don't want to see any more queer stuff. You guys stop it. I'm yelling in the theater. Sharon's thinking I'm going to get hauled off. Guys are turning around looking at me. I'm like, I've had it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is okay. I didn't come here to the movie to watch a bunch of gay crap. I don't want to see that stuff. If these guys want to go sodomize themselves to death, I could care less. I just don't want to see it. And when they force me to sit there in a movie theater waiting for the movie to start awesome and make me see this, it blows my mind. The movie, of course, was pretty, it was okay. But then they had another movie that just came out this week. And I have really had it. I'm gonna give a review on this. I have not watched this movie, but I read the Christian reviews on it. Jennifer Lawrence, who I really like as an actress, has really soiled herself and shown her ability to just completely compromise herself morally with the film Mother. It is being assailed as a grotesque and nauseating attack on Christianity, likened to The Last Temptation of Christ. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, they're telling you right now, and here's National Review, film critic Kyle Smith blasted the movie in his review, saying it might be the vilest movie ever released by a major Hollywood studio that will represent a stain on the reputation of Paramount Pictures. Smith warned that pregnant women, those with nervous constitutions or heart conditions, or anyone who happens to be burdened with good taste should stay far away from it. No, this is awful, Austin. They actually try to make Jennifer Lawrence like the mother of the earth. She gives birth to a child, symbolic of Jesus, and they eat her baby.
What?
Oh, yeah. They eat the baby. They eat the baby. This is the sickest crap that Hollywood's put out in a long, long time. But guys, tell your friends, send a text out, send an email out, don't go see this movie. It's an R-rated piece of filth. And they looked at the baby as the blood and sacrament of Christ of eating him. I mean, this is some crazy, sick stuff. These haters of Yeshua put out in Hollywood, these haters of Yahweh, these ones who want to resurrect their serpent god, these have a deep-seated generational hatred of Jesus, Yeshua, and Christians. That's who puts filth and trash like this out in Hollywood, and it made me so angry because I like Jennifer Lawrence, and she basically gives her heart out. If you look at the doggone poster, she's like ripping her own heart out. She's Mother Earth. Are you kidding me? Can they not get any sicker than this? I cannot believe that good sense didn't triumph over stupidity on this, and I will never pay to see another Jennifer Lawrence movie. Now, George Clooney's on that list. Brad Pitt's on that list. Jennifer Lawrence is on that list. I will never pay to see any of their filthy crap again for the rest of my life. I've had enough of all of these guys, and that's the only way we can stop this stuff is we've got to stand against them, and when they come out with stuff like that, don't see it, and boycott the studio, and boycott the actor or the actress. I mean, Vince Caviezel, the guy who played The Last Temptation, who played the Passion of the Christ, He's been basically blackballed. He's been blacklisted in Hollywood now. And Mel Gibson warned him, if you play this part, they may blacklist you. And he thought, well, they're not going to do that to me. They blacklisted him. He can't get a decent part, can't get a decent role on anything anymore because he didn't do what the Jewish elite, the Sabbatean Jews, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, these are not real Jews, these are the synagogue of Satan in Hollywood, have done. They have destroyed him, destroyed his career, because he depicted the death of Jesus. And I mean, it's unbelievable that these guys are in Hollywood and nobody will call them out. Well, I'm calling them out today. I've had it with these Sabbatean Kabbalists who try to pretend like they're Jews, who are Satan worshipers, who are running around in Hollywood, in California, doing this filthy, filthy stuff and just forcing it on the goyim, they call us, to force us to try to compromise our own values and our own integrity. Austin, I got to calm down for a second. Go ahead and do another.
Well, no, I mean, you're spot on, man. And I mean, if you've noticed, if anybody's noticed, if you've gone to the movies over the last 10 to 15 years, as Dad just said, the movies have degraded significantly. And also, too, if you've noticed, especially by the previews, because I don't ever watch these movies anymore, is the horror films have all become more and more satanic and sadistic. You see these commercials now. And a lot of the older ones, you know, you had stuff like Friday the 13th with Jason, and some of the old ones, they were sick films already, but they were slasher films, they were whatever. And now, it's that stuff, I mean, you see some of those old movies back from the 70s and 80s, those horror films, you had Aliens, you had Jurassic Park in the 90s, and they were like, oh my gosh. Now it's like everything's steeped into Satanism. Like I told you guys a while back ago, I was at the store, I was walking past the DVD rack, and I was just browsing them. And one of the movies that was out, and apparently I didn't realize this until I started looking at it, was a movie called Ouija Board. And it was all about summoning up these demons into this house through a Ouija board, and the whole house got infested with demons. If you guys have noticed, that's like the premise of all the horror movies now. It's all about demonic possession, haunted houses, demons coming through into this realm. That's what they're all about now. There's a reason why they've slowly progressed the horror film industry into this now and made it extremely satanic on so many levels. No more is it just the old school slasher horror movie. It's all about these unbelievably satanic demonic realms that people are opening up in their house. It's like every single horror movie, that's the premise of it now, all the time. And Dad said too, the commercials, and I noticed that too as well, if you notice, they're playing less and less movie commercials when you go to the movies, and now they're playing TV movie commercials. As far as the TV shows that are on TV, they're trying to put them because they know the box office sales are through the floor. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Hollywood's in the tank because they're coming out with these movies that are more just horrible movies. Worse, and they get worse, and they get worse, and nobody's wanting to pay to go see them anymore. Hollywood is a filthy, filthy, filthy industry out there, and they're doing everything they can. They're doing everything they can to completely demoralize the country by bringing out the films and bringing out everything as sadistic and Satanist as they can. And what Dad just talked about, that movie, I didn't even know anything about that movie. I haven't even heard about it until just now. I really haven't been around any movies in a while. Just got been so busy with other stuff. But the fact that that actually went to a major motion picture theater and that was actually on movie screens right now that people can go see, and it's not some indie film that's buried, you know, online, you have to go try and dig up. That troubles me, the fact that they actually had enough funding to get this to major studios and major movie theaters is very quite weird to me. Also, too, in other news, I wanted to address this as well, give everybody a warning out in Texas. Dave Hodges put this out, and I verified it. I saw two major news companies putting it out now. Houston officials now and a lot of southern east Texas is warning local residents now, if they're going to be outside for extended periods of time, they need to wear gas masks, as now C-130 tanker planes are now raining down mosquito spray on everybody. And they interviewed a guy, and one of the things he said, I don't understand why they're doing this at this time. He goes, they're spraying it like 9:15 in the morning. He goes, I have employees that are literally running from their car with towels over their face, trying to get into the building so they don't get completely soaked down with this stuff. So they're saying it's because of the mosquito problem. It's the mosquito problem. We don't want people to get bit by mosquitoes, so we're spraying Nalid is what they're using on them. And my whole question is, what's worse? To have a 100% chance you're going to get sprayed with Nalid, which is a neurotoxin, by the way, or having a small chance of being bitten by a mosquito and having to deal with that? That's two big contrasting opinions right there. The neurotoxin Nalid, which is an organophosphate category of insecticides, has been banned in the EU since 2012. Banned, as in it cannot be used, period. It is a crime to use Nalid anywhere in the EU because of its extreme toxicity. And I quote, this is what they said in the European Commission ruling. The scenarios evaluated in the overall human health risk assessment, as well as the environmental risk assessment, showed a potential and unacceptable risk of the use of Nalid, wrote the European Commission in its ruling. So the EU said, but both, of course, the Center of Disease Control and the EPA have both said Nalid, small amounts of this insecticide spraying from planes, does not expose people enough to pose a health risk. And the Air Force put out a press release saying the insecticide will be used in volumes that the EPA considers safe. They consider it safe. So it's okay. It's an insecticide. It's a neurotoxin. Europe's banned it. They can't even use it. But we'll make sure we only use safe amounts that we're spraying a few hundred feet above the cities when we come through spraying it. But again, did the EPA say that Agent Orange used to be safe? The core exit used to also be safe? All these other toxic chemicals, they also say Roundup safe to spray on food for human consumption. We see how that's worked out for us. So just giving everybody a heads up on that in Texas right now. Now, they're spraying you regularly right now with C-130s. What's wild to me is it almost seems like they've done a lot of this, or at least contribute to a lot of it, because of how strong of a Republican, Constitution, Christian state Texas is. Also remember, too, guys, Texas is gaining the population of almost every state around it because of how prosperous it is. California is hemorrhaging, literally hemorrhaging people by the day. Texas has now gained almost $6 billion in revenue from the almost 150,000 people a year that it's taking in from other states because of how liberal and how unbelievably difficult it is to make a living in California because of what's going on over there, from the regulations on businesses to the massive state income tax to the unbelievably stupid immigration policies that they keep putting out there. I told you guys about that last week, and now they're banning landlords from turning in tenants of their rental houses if they're illegal, and if they do violate it, the tenants have the right to sue them for turning them in for being illegal. Just boggles my mind. I still can't even wrap my head around this right now, but that's what's going on in Texas. Texas is exploding with growth, with home, with oil, with everything. It's exploding. Now they just took one of the biggest hurricanes right into Houston, and now on top of it, they're saying, well, the mosquito problem is causing us to need, we need Nalid now. We need to spray it on all the eastern part of Texas to keep the mosquitoes down now. Very, very, very sad, Dad, that they're doing this, but again, it does not surprise me with how strong Texas is of a state.
Years ago, back in the 90s, we had a problem with a Mediterranean fruit fly here in Florida. Let me say that again, Mediterranean fruit fly. And it was devastating the citrus crops. And so they thought. Now we realize this is the aluminum toxicity from the aerosol spraying and the barium that's destroyed the citrus crop in our area and throughout the state of Florida. But they were blaming it all on the Mediterranean fruit fly, which is complete nonsense. And what ended up happening is they started spraying us again with a giant, they were using DC-3s back then, spray planes, and they were spraying us with malathion. And I remember they would warn people not to go out during the day when they saw the DC-3s come over, and they were warning people to cover their cars because it could ruin the paint on their cars and not to breathe it, and warning pregnant women basically to stay inside. And finally, a consumer group up in Tallahassee went up there and they filed a lawsuit with a federal court judge and they got it stopped. This judge signed off so you can't spray human beings like they're insects. That's what they need to do in Texas. A federal court judge needs to go in there and stop the spraying of this nailed on these people as quickly as possible because they're not going to stop. They're causing neurological damage. They're going to cause miscarriages. They're going to cause all kinds of health issues with the women. They're going to cause all kinds of problems. And again, that is punishing this state for being a gun state, for being a pro-Trump state, for being, you know, basically a pro-Republican state, for being a pro-patriot state. Guys, they hate us that much. They really hate us that much. Same thing with Florida. Florida was a big Trump state, won it by a landslide, and they don't want us to be able to go, wow, we're a Trump state, and now what they're doing with these three more storms in the Atlantic, wherever those things are going to go, they're letting everybody know that Trump needs to get back into the Paris Climate Accord, they need to go ahead and sign back off on the carbon taxes, and fine us billions and hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, because we're breathing air and putting out carbon dioxide. This is nuts. These guys who run this planet are the wickedest group of people I've ever seen in my entire life. These are the guys, if you watch the movie Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, make sure it is edited. Do not get the raw tape on that. It is extremely graphic. These are those guys. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists. These are the ones that run Hollywood. These are the ones that run the Federal Reserve System. These are the ones who run the planet. They run Mossad. They run the CIA. They run all of it. And they're basically deciding that they're going to go ahead and kill as many of us as they possibly can with insecticides and chlorocarbons. And all these poisons are dumping on top of those folks in Texas now because they can. I'm going to repeat that, because they can. Because the government said they can. It's legal to experiment on the United States population. It's legal. It was passed years ago, but they can't do it if it's a rollout. In other words, as long as they're doing experimentation, it's okay. That's why they're experimenting with chemtrails. That's why it's okay. That's why you can't go after them from a legal standpoint to get it stopped, because it's legal for them to do that. We need a lot more transparency in government. It's unbelievable. Let me change topics. Magnesium right now has been shown to be absolutely amazing to everything right now as far as the general population. And now we're finding out it's not the calcium, but it's the magnesium that gives us strong bones. I have the magnesium brain food. I take 3 scoops of that every day. Plus, I soak my feet in magnesium on a regular basis in the magnesium chloride. It's been shown to reduce headaches, muscle spasms, muscle cramps, fibromyalgia, helps to reduce anxiety, depression, autism and ADD, restless leg syndrome, insomnia, tics, psoriasis, acne and eczema, asthma, blood pressure, diabetes, osteoporosis. It allows nerves to send messages in the brain and nervous system, aids and regulates the body's use of calcium and other minerals, and assists in bone and teeth formation. Magnesium is especially helpful for women, help maintain hormones so they don't fluctuate as bad, and also makes them, and basically they need more magnesium than women, the men do. And so, and it says, this author says this: ladies, have you ever wondered why you crave chocolate before your period? It's because your body is clamoring for magnesium, and dark chocolate, 80% plus cocoa, has more magnesium than any other food. Magnesium levels fluctuate during a woman's cycle. Increasing dietary magnesium can help relieve PMS symptoms such as headaches, bloating, low sugar, blood sugar, dizziness, fluid retention, and sugar cravings. And I'm going to say this one more time. It's so essential that you guys get this. Magnesium is like the gasoline in your car or the diesel fuel in your truck, guys. That's what magnesium is. Calcium is like the water in the radiator. The body constantly cycles it and puts it back in, but uses it over and over again. That's why magnesium is absolutely critical in your body to maintain over 300 biochemical reactions, and your body burns magnesium. It has to be restored constantly, where calcium, it rotates it and reabsorbs it and basically recycles it. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right. The magnesium is extremely crucial, and this is actually wild how well this works, because speaking of it right now, the magnesium Dead Sea oil we actually have is on sale for product of the week. And the reason why I bring that up, you're talking about females. The last pregnancy, at the very end of the pregnancy, on Lana's stomach, on the sides and at the bottom, she started getting real bad cramps because you start having contractions and stuff. Well, we decided to give it a try just because I wanted to start off with the base one, the base magnesium oil. I figured there's no essential oils in it. Magnesium's not going to hurt anybody. She's already taken a ton of it orally. And so we started applying the magnesium Dead Sea oil to the sides of her stomach and to her lower stomach while she was having contractions and why everything is moving in there. And it massively helped out with the pain and the contraction pain that she was getting from all that movement with the ligaments and everything, because you got to understand, especially when females are pregnant, there is so much stuff going on beyond what I can even imagine. And the body, like Dad said, it's burning magnesium as fuel, especially when it's getting ready to have a baby. And all the stretching and moving it does with the ligaments and the soft tissue and the belly, everything's getting ready to have a child. So magnesium, we found, was incredibly great at easing the pregnancy pains as they got closer to the day of Hunter's birth. And we'll again use that exact same protocol we kind of fell on by accident on this next baby that we're having in January. So that was just kind of something I wanted to bring up there since we're on the topic of magnesium, and it's on sale for people that are wanting to use it for sports usage. It's great. I do that all the time. Put it on the joints, put it on the elbows, the shoulders, the knees. Phenomenal for that. Also, too, if you have a muscle that's bound up, you can rub it on there. And if you really want to stack it, you take like the magnesium brain food, which is the powder magnesium we have, which is incredible, and you use the topical magnesium on the place you need it, and that really gets significant amount of magnesium into the body, into the bloodstream to do exactly what it's supposed to do, as Dad was just explaining.
Remember, magnesium relaxes the muscles, calcium contracts them, but the calcium is recycled constantly in the body. So it's very important you maintain higher magnesium levels than calcium levels. It's so important. And guys, never take a calcium supplement. Women, I don't recommend taking calcium supplements, maybe a little bit in our multiple vitamin. That's okay. But the people are out there taking 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 milligrams of calcium every day. Way, way, way too much. And it's not the right type of calcium. Almost always it's calcium carbonate. And it's the worst type of calcium you can put in your body. Never put that stuff in your system at all. By the way, baking soda now is being touted as the true enemy of the pharmaceutical industry. And they're saying that it's actually a cure for cancer. Now, I'm going to talk about this again. I've talked about it once before. And the reason this is happening is the body's pH is normally about 6.4 with urine and saliva. But if you eat a lot of acidic foods and you have a very, very junk food diet, your pH will drop extremely low. And when that happens, it increases the risks of cancer, because cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment. It has to be in an acidic environment that basically has no oxygen. And so a lot of people are now mixing baking soda in their water and drinking it to actually increase their pH levels to help the absorption of nutrients. And what the truth is this, baking soda being used like this, as long as you have an acidic pH, if you put a little bit in a glass of water and drink it, I have absolutely no problem with you doing that at all. But you need to check your pH first. If your pH is between 6.4 and 7.0, be very careful so you don't run it up too much, because it could also make your body too alkaline. It's so important that you get that. But if you do have an acidic pH, it is really, really important that you understand that it can be used as a program to help bring up pHs. This article goes on to say, reported that sodium bicarbonate increases tumor pH, which makes it more alkaline, and also prevents spontaneous metastases. This is from Robbie in 2009. That showed that sodium bicarbonate taken orally increased the pH of tumors and also reduced the formation of rats and mice as far as with cancer, and it also reduced the rate of lymph node involvement. All of this has to deal with excessive acidic pH, because that leads to cellular deterioration and eventually brings on serious health problems such as cancer. Now, the reason it does that, when your body becomes overly acidic, you're starting to get to a point where you can't neutralize the food going through your body. When you eat food, you have to have sodium, potassium, and calcium in high enough concentrations to manufacture bile. If you don't, you basically cannot take the acid that's coming out of your stomach from the gallbladder and release through the common bile duct enough alkaline material with the bile to neutralize the acidity of the stomach acid coming into the small intestine. And when that happens, your bowels get real loose in many cases. You start having constant diarrhea. And the reason you're having constant diarrhea is your body won't allow that chyme or that digested food from your stomach to stay in your intestinal tract very long, because it will burn a hole in your intestinal wall. That's how harsh it is on the intestinal tract. The stomach can handle the acidity. The small and large intestine cannot. So that's why a lot of people get constant problems with diarrhea. And then when they do that, their nutrient absorption goes through the floor, and they get very little energy from the food that they're eating, which requires them to get a lot of energy from the stored fat in their body and stored muscle in their body, which of course puts you into ketosis, which puts you back into even further acidic ranges, and so your body gets sicker and sicker and sicker. There's a tenfold loss in energy from the pH if it goes from 6.4 to 7.4, which is too alkaline. When it goes from 6.4 to 5.4 for the urine pH, you have a hundredfold loss in energy that your body is absorbing from the food. It's 10 times that amount. It's 10 times. I mean, 100 times. It's 10. So it's 100 times more loss than, you know, it's 100 times less food absorption, 10 times more at 7.4. So that's why if you're running a little bit alkaline, you're better. The problem, if you're a little bit too alkaline, you may have a problem with constipation, so you have to be careful with that too. But you can always use the magnesium, a little bit extra magnesium, to loosen your bowels so your bowels move better. So guys, there's all kinds of natural ways you could deal with an acidic pH. This is why I've warned people for years that apple cider vinegar is not for everybody. It can drive your pH further acidic. That's what it does. I used it for years and years in my office, in my clinic, when we would test people's pH. Now you can go down to the drugstore, your local pharmacy, and ask them for pH strips. And you can urinate on that, and they'll give you a color chart, and you can see what your pH is in your urine. And if you've got acidic urine, you do not, under any circumstances, want to use apple cider vinegar. Your body's already too acidic as it is, and putting more acid in it is not going to help anything. You want to use a little bit of baking soda to help bring that pH back up. But the problem that you run into, Austin, is that a lot of people have also a problem with acid reflux. And the reason that's happening is they don't have enough digestive enzymes or hydrochloric acid being produced in their stomach. So it's kind of like a catch-22. That's why I don't like HCL supplements. I don't care for those. Some people back in the 80s are saying you need to drink diluted hydrochloric acid. You don't do that. That's not healthy for your tongue or your gums or your teeth or anything else. It'll dissolve calcium out of your teeth. That's why with our digestive enzymes, they're primarily pancreatic enzymes, which help to digest your food, which don't push your body into acidic of a state. That's very simply... That's as simple as I can make this without going into pH and ions and hydrogen concentrations and all this kind of stuff. But guys, baking soda for cancer patients who have acidic pHs is probably one of the best things they could ever take, Austin. What do you think?
That's great info, bud. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it in briefly before as far as with the alkaline and acidic issues, and you're absolutely right about that. And also one thing, too, you mentioned as far as on constipation, and I wanted to bring that up too because we've talked about that before, and it's a topic that a lot of people don't like to talk about. However, I've gotten a lot of issues here on emails from people emailing me, and also a personal couple that we know that have been having issues with this. And you guys have to be sure, if you are having or not having proper bowel movements, you have to get your colon cleaned out. A lot of times when I've talked to people, when they're having health issues, or they're having digestive issues, or they're having acid reflux issues, or they're having all types of ailments, the first thing you got to do, besides getting your diet correct, that's the most important aspect, and making sure you're drinking a good amount of purified water, is getting the colon cleaned out. You don't want to have all those toxics in there. Lana has a friend of hers that her and her husband couldn't get pregnant at all. The guy was fine. He got tested. She was fine. She couldn't get pregnant. Very obese, like 350 pounds. And finally, I ran into her one day, and I said, you just got to lose weight. I said, I'm just telling you right now. I said, you're not going to be able to get pregnant naturally like this with your weight this high. And she called up Lana one day, and she goes, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I haven't had a bowel movement in like 8 days. And I'm like, whoa. So Landon had given her some supplements we had, and then her mom gave her like some pharmaceutical like Maalox kind of deal, and she took a bunch of that, and she called Landon like 2 days later. She's like, I still haven't gone to the bathroom yet. Then finally she took another dose of what we had and the Atrialo, and she finally had a bowel movement, and then she still couldn't get pregnant. So they ended up having to do like in vitro and a bunch of other stuff, and so she got pregnant now, and she sent a photo to Landon the other day, and now she's trying to go to the doctor to get some type of diuretic because she's holding so much fluid. She sent a photo of her legs, like knee down, and her calves all the way down to her feet literally look like she's broken, like every bone in her foot as far as the swelling. She can't even wear shoes right now. They're so swollen. And Lana goes, what are you eating right now? There's no way you're holding this much fluid. She goes, well, I just get hungry all the time, and I like my McDonald's, and I like going and ordering pizza all the time. And Lana goes, that's your issue. You're probably eating 5,000 milligrams of sodium every day, not to mention your bowels still aren't working. And sad as it is, she's so far, I mean, the pregnancy's been going good, but she's going to have this kid in like 2 months. And guys, you got to understand, what you put in your body is, it reflects, it shows. And especially when you're pregnant, I've seen so many girls put on 50, 60, 70 pounds when they're pregnant. They go, oh, well, that's just baby weight. No, it's not baby weight. You should not be gaining 60, 70 pounds during your pregnancy. There's no reason for you to do that. And the women that are having significant issues with, you know, bloating up and having all this swelling and water, holding a significant amount of water, you got to look at your diet. You got to see what you're eating, and you can't just go, well, I'm pregnant, so I'm going to eat anything I want to eat whenever I want to eat it because I'm pregnant. You could do that, but I'm telling you right now, I have seen a lot of women now have significantly hard issues dropping weight after they're pregnant when they put on that much weight. You know, because after the birth, you'll drop 15, 20 pounds pretty quickly, and then that extra 40, 50 pounds you put on after the pregnancy, it doesn't just go away by itself. And the issue that I've seen as well is the hormones, especially with all the different estrogen and prolactin and progesterone, and all these hormones are literally up and down. Some of them are going through the roof, some of them are going through the floor during pregnancy, and it massively stores body fat. So when you're going and you're having a pregnancy like this and you're putting on 50, 60, 70 additional pounds, and you expect that weight just to fall off you as soon as you have your baby, a lot of times it does not do that, especially if you don't change your diet significantly after the pregnancy. And that's another issue I've seen, is a lot of women still want to eat like they're pregnant after they have the baby. Guys, if you're trying to get back in shape and you're trying to lose weight, that is not an option that should be for you guys at all. But my whole topic of that, where I got kind of sidetracked, make sure you're keeping the bowel movements on at least a daily basis. You have to keep the toxins pushed out of the body, Dad.
No, I can't tell you how important this is, what Austin's telling you right now, because when you're pregnant, your body is manufacturing another human being, and you have to have the ability to create that human being in a healthy environment. And if your body is basically unbelievably poisonous and toxic, it doesn't do any good for that baby, it doesn't do any good for you, and it doesn't do any good for that child as far as its neurological development or anything else. That's so important that you understand that. One more thing I want to talk about. This is so important. Last night, 60 Minutes, actually, and I don't usually watch TV, but I happened to flip it on last night, and they were talking about the opioid crisis in Ohio and how so many people and how many billions of pills have been prescribed. I mean, it was an insane amount of number. It was crazy. And the sad part about this is not one time, Austin, they talk about the CIA. Not one time did they talk about Afghanistan. Not one time did they talk about everything that's happening with the problems associated with these people who were taking these drugs. But one lady who was a nurse said something that was very, 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 very good. She said that people don't understand that when you get addicted to opioids or heroin, that it's a neurological condition in which your body is craving the opioids. And she goes, it's funny, she goes, because there's a stigma associated with heroin because you're injecting this stuff because of what we've heard from Hollywood. But she goes, it's not a question of locking these people up and putting them in jail. They need to be in detox programs, and programs basically to help them get off of the heroin and the opioids. She said this. She said, if a person has adult onset diabetes or they're diabetic and they weigh 300 pounds and they're eating bonbons every night because they want more sugar in their diet, we don't arrest them and lock them up because they're eating bonbons. You know, and she's absolutely right. We don't do that. But heroin has this stigma associated with it of the drug culture of the 60s and the 70s and these back alley pushers and junkies that were laying around under dumpsters. What we don't understand in this country is they had a group of people that were well educated, many of them seemed to be college educated, discussing how their children had either died or had to go through rehab last night on 60 Minutes. If you can watch the first 20 minutes of 60 Minutes last night, it's pretty good. Then they got a weirdo writer on after that. It was ridiculous after that. But the first 20 minutes, watch that, and they're actually discussing the opioids. And now they're basically blaming it on the medical profession and the drug manufacturing companies. But no one is pointing the finger at Afghanistan. No one said a word about that. No one said anything about the opium production coming into the United States through the CIA and the C-130 transport planes. And of course, they would not do that because that entire 60-minute interview was taped. And I'm sure the CIA had to make sure that they reviewed it before the information went out. So guys, watch that if you get a chance. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Thanks so much for listening to us. Please don't go see that movie, Mother. That's really important to me. Don't even consider it. Tell your friends not to see it. And just thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us, and getting your magnesium from us, and getting your supplements and your B vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being our friends. Thanks for kind of having a conversation with us and hanging out with us every day. We love you guys so much, and we appreciate you. So, Austin, I'll go ahead and do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless you, and I'll talk to you then.
Sounds good, bud. And one thing, the reason why they don't want to bring that up on 60 Minutes back, what that was just talking about, is because the heroin users are feeding the prison industrial complex. Always remember that. The war on drugs is a complete and total lie. All it was brought out to do was feed the prison industrial complex, because we have the highest incarceration rate per capita of any industrialized country in the world. That's not by accident. They've done that on purpose, and that's what the war on drugs was all about. Yes, and if you guys need anything, as always, check us out, healthmasters.com. We appreciate all the support. We thank you for the emails. Thank you for everything you guys send in. Got a ton of emails again over the weekend. We love that. We love hearing from everybody. And also, too, if you have any pertinent questions that you need to know, you know, now, because a lot of times our emails were backed up quite a bit. We try to answer all of them, but it does take a while. The phone number, 1-800-726-1834. We're here Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, 9 to 5. So feel free to call us up in any of those working hours and talk to a live rep here. We always have somebody on the phone. Granted, sometimes we're busy. You may have to sit on hold for a couple minutes, but you're not going to have to sit through a bunch of prompts. You're not going to have to wait and get pushed to a voicemail. You will get a live person here, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you about anything that you would like to discuss as far as a natural supplement. We can't, however, really give you any type of medical advice, but we can definitely push you in the right direction as far as with food intake, what type of foods to avoid, what type of supplements to go for, and kind of put you together a protocol of what would best fit your needs. And one of the biggest things I always tell people, if they want to go on the website and look, a good place to start is the basic healthy lifestyle kit that we have on the front page of the website. We put that together specifically for just about everybody, that they can take it, whether it's teenagers, adults, women, even pregnant women, you can take it. It's an incredibly good base supplement package with 5 supplements that really fits the bill, and the whole family can take it, especially if you divvy out and you take a few less supplements as far as in the bottles than you need to. You can spread it out through a couple of people and make it more cost effective. So we always have options like that for you guys on the website at healthmasters.com. So we appreciate the support. Thank you for everything you guys have done for us, and continue to pray for us that these hurricanes fizzle out in the ocean. We don't need any more of that right now. Like I said, everybody's still just now getting power, and definitely got a lot of stuff to work on. We don't need any more of that. So please be praying for us. You guys have a blessed, safe night. Thank you for everything, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.